Come with the subject of lists.
L-I, not listing like a ship. But sometimes we do list from side to side when we're in our lives, but lists. And everyone has lists, and of course, I have lists. And recently, in our previous Sundays of messages, we've had props. And so I had to say, you know, I got to be a part of that, you know, just to keep the continuity. And that's one of the subjects we're talking about is continuity. But we all have lists. Got a couple lists here. And, you know, and now I make a list of one-arm projects and two-arm projects. And I can look right by some of the, that's a two-arm project. I can't do that. But we all make lists, and of course, it's, I don't know, small list like that. But sometimes you have lists that you have for projects, you know, instructions on projects, what you did, how you do it, and other projects that, again, one-arm and two-arm projects, but just, that's enough for props, I guess, but just to get it started. But you also have mental lists. I'm pretty sure you all have mental lists, and I went through, as I'm sitting there, I had a mental list as we sang, "This is my Father's world." Okay, it's one of the songs we know. But the mental list I have and the picture I have is of a family called the Poleys. I don't know if you know them. I know the Johnsons know them. We fellowshiped with them for a while. But when I was first going to Berkshire Chapel, they came up as a family around the piano, three young kids, and the father and mother, and they sang, "This is my Father's world." And it really left an indelible mark that every time we sing that song, boom, I go back to that picture. And it was very interesting. And that's what we do in talking about what I'm going to try to talk about here in this list is that we have a list that would be very simple. It's like I didn't come up with a list. I was in reading and go through and you end up seeing, hey, that's interesting, that's interesting. I hope we do when we're reading about reading the Word and reading different Bibles, commentaries, and just books that people have written, Christian men have written. But I came up with a list and it's not complete, but it called 10 reasons to believe in the Christian faith. And I think we're all familiar with all of them. And it's just hopefully it's going to be a reminder. But as we go through each workday and as we go through each day of life, those lists, like I said, the mental list, I believe a lot of those mental things that I'm going to talk about are in your mental list of biblical reasoning. And so I had some big words, and the first one is one of the reasons of the 10 that I have is the credibility of the founder. And credibility, okay. I don't know if everyone understands credibility. What else it could mean? It's worthy of trust or authenticity. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the reasons to believe the Christian faith and reason why we do, is that Jesus Christ said he came from heaven to die for our sins and to bring to his Father all who believe in him. Logic says, and we have this argument with many people as we read about it in accounts in the Bible, but we read about it and we experience it in our daily lives and in talking with people about the Lord, is that logic says either he's a liar or he's a lunatic. And then suddenly those characteristics sometimes are put associated with us, but or he's the Lord of heaven. His followers, we know, saw his miracles, heard his teachings, examined his blameless life. Similar characteristics that we try to promote our teachings. Examine our lives being examined, as we talked many times that we're witnessing. People are watching us. And these people, these followers, initial followers, witnessed his terrible death. And they saw him come alive again. They concluded, like Mr. Smith had talked about a couple weeks ago, in talking about Peter, they concluded, just like Peter, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's interesting, it's in each of the Gospels. How many of the Gospels you can look up? If you look up in your one Gospel, you'll see it point to three others. And I think Jesus and John was at the tabernacles, and he asked the same question, and we know he asked it in Caesarea Philippi. So one reason to believe is the credibility of the founder. Second one is the reliability of the book, or of its book. Reliability, what does that mean? It's dependable. It's consistent. And as we can reference, just in our previous Wednesday night study, as we went through Acts, how reliable and consistent it was. It was dependable as the stories went. They were consistent. Written over, we know it, the Bible was written over a period of like 1,600 years or more. I think about 40 different authors. The Bible tells, you know, our story that begins with creation, something we know. 10 reasons to believe. Begins with creation and concludes at the doorstep of eternity. How many books do that? The integrity, we say the reliability of the book, the integrity of the historical and geographical record is supported by, we know, archaeology as we went through Acts, that we still see similar same pieces of architecture dug up with looking at ages, timing, people that were in power then, all comes together. And more they dig, the more and more they find. It's almost like, I won't use that association. Remember, we had a big sawdust pit and put stuff in there, and more as the kids dug, the more and more they found, until, of course, there was no more, but that's not part of the question. And also, the reliability of the book is the accuracy. Just think, over the years, it's now 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years, the accuracy with which it had been copied has been confirmed by that archaeological. We think of the Dead Sea Scrolls at Qom, that the way the Bible was copied and copied over and over, that we see its reliability. The third reason I have that I picked out is 10 reasons to believe, of the 10 reasons to believe in the Christian faith. Why we believe in that Christian faith. Why we are here sometimes, people ask questions. Why do you believe in that Christian faith? Is in the Bible, in our words, we find an explanation for life. Another big word, but explanation, I have a understandable, easy to grasp. It provides details, and they're easy to understand. We talk to people, we meet people in the street, and we talk to them, but all religions attempt to give meaning to our existence, to explain our thirst for significance, why we're here, the problem of pain, why we have so much pain, explaining it away, and also the inevitability of death. We find and we know that it is Christ who reveals a Father who takes note of every sparrow that falls, a Father who numbers how many hairs are on our head, a God who shows how much he cares for all of us he has created. It is Christ who clothed himself in our humanity to feel what we feel, and then to suffer and die in our place. Another reason to believe is the continuity it has with the past. We just talked about our historical and archaeological, but those who trust Christ are accepting the same Creator and Lord worshiped by Adam, Abraham, Sarah, Solomon. Those of us who have accepted Christ are accepting that same Creator and Lord. From Genesis to Revelation, it is one story. It is a story, and it's ours. Speaking, I had written a chicken, they call it chicken scratch, but it's, I think it's old people's writing. It could be in that category, but we won't. I wrote down continuity, because I said in continuity with the past, or in continuity, just in continuity. I was just sitting in my wife's Sunday school class, and she's going to teach the boys, and downstairs in Sunday school, and they're going to be talking about a rod that struck a river, Elisha. Here we had a rod, and talking about a rod up here in our first service, and then they're going to get some, you know, additional reinforcement maybe. Now, I didn't check with Michelle to find out. Also, I would have been late for class here. I don't know, but that's beside the point. Using the again, just the word rod, they heard the rod earlier. We heard the earlier. I just gave you their lesson, so, you know, for Jen and Jason, they can just, you know, offhand say, what'd you learn? Oh, I didn't give you the full story. The fifth reason, we can categorize to believe, why we believe, but reasons to believe, in other words, arguments, persuasions. We talked about Paul all through the last couple months about his way of persuading, or not arguing, but just arguing, yes, in some cases, but his methods that he used. We can say the next one, the reason to believe, in the Christian faith is, it's foundational claim. We just sang a song of also, the church is one foundation, I believe. And the first Christians were witnesses who risked their lives. We've seen that in our study of Acts that we've just been finishing up, to tell the world that they had seen an innocent man die, and then miraculously, he was resurrected 3 days later. I think in our Acts, I think it was Acts chapter 5, the second time the apostles were persecuted. They were thrown in jail, and of course, they miraculously were released from jail during the nighttime, and Sanhedrin and that got together in the morning and said, bring them in. And the guards said, they weren't there. They had come out and were preaching at the temple. They testified that Jesus was crucified under the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, as we know. We know his body was buried and sealed in a borrowed tomb. We know that guards were posted to protect the grave from being tampered with. Yet, after 3 days, the tomb was empty, and witnesses were risking their lives to declare that he was alive. That was the foundation. As we studied Acts, it was called, as we call it, the beginning of the church. And I had an old book. It said, when the church was young and bold. And it had a little study on Acts. But it had a foundation. Why we believe? Because there's a foundation. And our next point is the power to change lives. Paul was significant in that, as we've studied Corinthians and studying in our Wednesday Bible study, which seems to be very important and very relevant. I'm sorry, it's really relevant to me, I guess, at this point. It's rememberable. Yeah. Long-term memory, short-term memory. I won't argue about it. The power to change lives. Those first disciples were not the only ones dramatically changed. You think about it from generation to generation to where we are now. And we know from Paul's writings and even in Acts chapter 9, we know that Paul was one of the worst enemies. But he was transformed from a killer of Christians into one of their chief advocates. An advocate being someone, I had written, look at the definitions, as an advocate, a person who publicly supports or argues for a cause. Defends your cause. Sometimes he's an attorney. We have Jesus Christ as our advocate. Another reason who we believe, knowing that we have this God speaking for us. My place. I'm rereading. But power to change lives. We see one thing we're talking about. I was just talking about Paul. You should go to Galatians, which we're going to next, and we see that Paul, a nice part of it, he defends his apostleship. He's an advocate. And we know that Paul later wrote that this power to change lives. Power to change. Why not believe? Why not put these reasons that are adding up? We all accepted them as believers. But how do we carry them around? The next one I have is an analysis of human nature. And we're all pretty familiar with human nature. All right. But as we talk to people and know about human nature, whether we read it in the papers, listen to it on the radio, or talk to people, there's many people who believe that our problems are rooted in many different things, in ignorance. Our problems are rooted in, maybe even some people go off and say, the problem we have with other people is it's their diet. Diet. They come up with insane or unreasonable things. Other people blame the government. the government caused that. But in all of them, we see that they want to blame somebody else and not themselves. But our Lord Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds evil. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, thefts, false witness in Matthew chapter 15. I had a little noise and you forgot blasphemers. And I put in pencil, like, okay, and blasphemers. I would have not quoted it completely. But these are the things which defile a man. Some of the reasons to believe. Here the Lord is telling us what we have. What is the problem? He analyzed. People are constantly analyzing everything. Right? Everything that goes on is analyzed. But Jesus comes down to tell you that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Out of the heart is the problem, the heart of man. I have one ear thing in. And I don't know if that was you or me. It's time to go. You got 5 minutes. And I know I have my phone on Do Not Disturb, so I don't know. But someone's calling me, I think. Or it's Logan saying you have 5 minutes. So we'll look and carry on to number 8 here. I had 10 reasons to believe in the Christian faith. Why we believe in the Christian faith? Its view of human achievement. Generation after generation hope for the best. Sometimes they say, we fought wars that would end all wars. We developed educational theories that would produce enlightened children. Maybe now we've had those theories and now producing kids who have, all of them have mental health problems. I don't know how, but somehow, again, we go back to the other one, analysis. People blaming education, blaming this. But the view of human, it's a view of human achievement. The Lord looking at the word of God and looking at the view of human achievement. How humans look at it, all right? We've conceived technologies now, and it's constantly improving. They would make life easier for ourselves. Now we're having like technologies that are making it harder, or to where we're saying stop. We've had enough. We can cope with what we have, and know that. But in spite of mankind's high hopes and efforts, we know that this world is approaching a terrible end time. And one of those reasons we know it's because it's predicted by the Bible. And looking at the reasons for faith, going through each one of them, authenticity, truthfulness, and the Bible tells you this is going to happen. In view of human achievement, the Bible tells us where we're headed and where we're going and where we can go. I think I have my one reference from the Old Testament was Daniel, in Daniel chapter, the 70th week, when he talks about that. But also in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it has the character of men in the last days, if you look it up. Our ninth one, and I still got two and a half, 3 minutes? Yeah, okay. I didn't hear the buzzer again. But our ninth one is reasons to believe in the Christian faith because of its impact on society. Our impact on society, too. We look historically, and we have a carpenter from Nazareth, changed the world. Calendars are dated. Documents bear silent witness to his birth. Basic Christian values have been foundational to social morality, foundational to our work ethic, foundational to all that social relief efforts we see, the impact of the Christian faith, and reasons to believe in that Christian faith. Our last one is its offer of salvation. The Christian faith offers forgiveness and adoption into God's family by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Find that in Romans. What's neat is I can list a scripture verse, but each one of you can find a different one in the Bible, no doubt, because of the consistency, because of the trustfulness and the truth. The salvation that Jesus offers does not depend on what we have done for him. But on the acceptance of what he has done for us. This salvation requires an admission of our sins and a confession of failure. We find that in Ephesians chapter 2. 10 reasons why our faith and why we can be strong in the faith, why we believe in what we believe. But for some out there that still haven't taken that route, taken that acceptance, taken that belief, is that I can say is you're not alone. You're not alone if you are still unconvinced about the reasonableness of faith in Christ. But keep in mind Jesus' claim that we don't have to resolve our differences or resolve our doubts on our own. He said, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He said that in John chapter 7, where he was talking, he came on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. You're not alone. Jesus is answering and saying, if you choose God's will, you will find out whether any teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own what I'm saying. And as we glean the scriptures, we find that truth. But if you do see the reasonableness of faith in Christ, the Bible offers to you a reassuring promise. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. We have to receive him. To become the children of God to those who believe in his name. The salvation Christ offers is not a reward for effort, but is a gift to all who put their trust in him. One last verse here to close. Paul talking to Timothy. Sometimes when you have a onion skin Bible pages, it's tough to turn them around. First Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." We know the story of Paul. We're quite familiar with him. But reasons to believe. Credibility. Reliability. Explanation. Explaining. The continuity of the word. The foundational. The foundation that was laid by Christ. As we know, he said, "Peter, you're going to be my rock." Well, Christ was the foundation to build his church upon. The power it has to change lives. It looks at the analysis of human achievement as comparable to what we know will happen. Its impact on society. Why we believe. Reasons to believe. Again, then we ask what to believe. What was provided by our Lord and Savior. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father. Thank you for leading to things that we know, but we like to, as sometimes Dr. Johnson says, we know that we know. And sometimes we know what we, we know these things, apply them to our lives. They are part of what we walk with. But sometimes we slip, but we know we have a God that cares and loves us. A God that had redeemed us, and we're safely held in his hand, even though we stray. A God that always wants us to come back to him, very simply. Repenting of a sin that we obviously know was wrong. Knowing that we hurt you, we thank you that a God that we can believe has all these qualities and more. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.